across every time zone covering both hemispheres. It's time for Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark on the Artist First Radio Network. Here's your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. This is Lisa from New Jersey. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guests tonight are going to be Elizabeth Summer, author of Eat Your Way to Sexy. We have radio personality G.L. Henderson and Derek Frazier, son of the late Joe Frazier. So grab your martini, slip into something comfortable, put your best high heels on, and stay for the hour and chat with us. Hey, Nancy.
Oh, Lisa, speaking of martini, guess what was on the news tonight?
What?
School children as young as sixth grade are getting in trouble at school because they're soaking their gummy bears in vodka.
What?
Yeah, they do it at home. They soak them in vodka, and then they bring them as their school snack, and they're getting, you know, vodka gummy bear high.
Come on.
Yeah, they're in trouble for it.
That's little kids in elementary school?
Yes. It was on the news. And almost as bad or worse than that. The children are also in trouble because they're playing a new game on the playground called Rape Tag.
What?
Yeah. They are running like tag, only they are tagging each other's private parts and calling it rape tag. So it was on the Minnesota News, and a letter went out from several of the school principals saying, we've stopped children from doing this. Please talk to your children at home.
People are insane.
They are. What is it?
Oh, I'm speechless, really. I'm speechless.
I mean, who would have ever thought of soaking gummy bears in vodka and bringing them to eat as your snack?
But I'm dumbfounded. I mean, things just never surprise. People never cease to amaze me. Crazy.
Oh. Well, Lisa, you know, are you feeling sexy tonight?
Actually, no.
Oh.
But I can do some. I want to learn how to be.
Hey, the answer is always supposed to be yes, girlfriend. Lisa and I have been friends since we were 18. Let me tell you what, to all the Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners, you really do need to find Lisa and friend her on Facebook. Her pictures, she looks like a very beautifully sexy model.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
You are beautiful, too.
Oh,
so we're good for our age. We look good. We're hanging in there.
Especially, you know, this is what happens with former NFL cheerleaders. We know how to dress and get ready for the Super Bowl weekend. That's for sure.
I need to learn how to eat my way to sexy, though, because I'm on Weight Watchers. I just started Weight Watchers this week.
Well, you know what you could do.
I'm really interested to hear what Elizabeth has to say.
You could maybe combine that. And I'm excited, Lisa. I'm going to just introduce her. We are welcoming back to Chit Chat Cafe Live award-winning nutritionist and author. Elizabeth Summer is here tonight to promote her book, Eat Your Way to Sexy. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
We are so thrilled to have you back.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here.
Well, we all love to feel sexy. In your book, you ask, what does sexy feel like? Oh, I love this. Is it a black stiletto, or how about sexy lacy lingerie, or perhaps it could be to drive a sleek sports car? But you have something better for us. It's all the above. Plus, tell us.
Well, actually, I want you to go a little bit deeper than just the sexy dress or the studly suit or the racy car. What are the feelings, the attitudes, the emotions that enticed you to put on the high heels or walk the walk in the first place? And when I ask people that, usually we come down to things like, well, you got to feel confident. You've got to feel vital. You've got to feel alive. You've got to feel adventuresome. You've got to feel energetic. You've got to feel mentally sharp. And that's where I want you to go, because you can get there. You can be on your sharpest game. You can have all the energy you need to get through the day so you're not too pooped to pucker by evening. You can have the slim waist that you can look 15 years younger than you are. All of those you can have if you just take care of yourself, eat the right foods, and move enough.
That's right, because you are what you eat and how you move. So give us some ideas. Help our listeners.
Okay, well, inside that sexy self, there's a whole lot of circuitry and circulation going on. You need, in order to feel sultry and powerful and confident, you need a fine-tuned brain that sends messages quickly and freely. You need a healthy heart that pumps blood efficiently and easily. You need clear and elastic blood vessels that can pump blood from the top of your head down to the tip of your toes. And all of that circuitry and circulation, all of it is built entirely and only from what you eat. There's no other place for your body to get its building blocks other than the oxygen you breathe. Other than that is from the diet. So, you know, guess what? If you eat junk, you're going to feel like junk. But if you eat the right foods in the right amounts and at the right time, I absolutely guarantee I have 100% success rate. When people do what I tell them to do, you're going to feel great.
Well, I love your book. We were talking off air before you joined us, and the cover of this book, it's our favorite, bright pink, and it's just so gorgeous. And starting right away with chapter one, it's all about sexy. Are you in the mood? Week one, the 1 month, 1 year. I love how it's broken down.
Well, yeah, you got to sort of take your goals and then break them into little mini steps along the way. And so if you're cranky or irritable, if you're downright depressed, there's no way you're going to feel sexy. That's just a given. So there's a lot you can do. I think people often go to medication in an effort to boost their mood. And granted, you know, I'm not downplaying medication, but for 40% of patients, it does no good. And even for the people that it does give them a slight boost in mood, it still doesn't completely erase the problem. And then it comes with a whole bunch of side effects. But we do know that if you take good care of yourself, if you eat the right foods, it at least will help. And in many cases, is all you need to get your mojo back. So what I talk about, sort of the foundation of the sexy diet, is to eat authentic at least 75% of the time. That means 3 out of 4 bites, 3/4 of the plate, should be real food, colorful fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, you know the routine. That still gives you a 25% wiggle room to occasionally have a slice of cheesecake or a Pop-Tart or a potato chip. But the more you eat authentic, the better you're going to feel.
I love it. I want you to know, I just love all this. Nutrition is my hobby. And so keeping it a hobby, it stays fun. And I'm right now, and to all of our listeners, please turn to page 10. On page 10, I love it. Step number one, have an antioxidant orgy. And you go from there with your wording. I love it. Feed your number one sex organ. Of course, that's your brain. Tell us more, Elizabeth.
Well, with the antioxidant orgy, we know that a lot of that circuitry and circulation, the problems lie when we develop a condition called inflammation in our bodies. And the things that generate inflammation are saturated fat-laden foods, processed foods, potatoes, sugar, refined grains, some of the oils like safflower and soy and corn oils are all generate inflammation that's associated with everything from heart disease to dementia. But if you load the plate with antioxidants, if you have an antioxidant orgy, what that means is you're eating tons, millions of little antioxidant compounds that are in fresh fruits and vegetables, legumes, even red wine and dark chocolate that reduce inflammation and protect that circuitry and circulation from damage so that you not only think better now, you lose weight by loading the plate with those kinds of foods, but you reduce the risk for things like dementia and heart disease down the road. So that it's the most important thing you can do for yourself is to double your current intake of colorful fruits and vegetables.
Well, this book is really clever. It really has little bits and pieces of everything. For example, you know, we're talking about eat your way to sexy plus healthy and what's attractive, but little sidelines that say quickies. And, you know, you're talking about nutrition quickies, but it's really cute the way you've worded it. And we did have a message from someone that was talking about they want to know what your G-spot snacks are.
Well, the G-spot snack is, G stands for grain. And that's, we know that all carb snacks can raise levels of a brain chemical called serotonin. And when serotonin levels are high, you're relaxed, you're happy. At night, you're going to sleep better. In middle of the day, you're just going to be in a more even, better mood. And you can boost that brain chemical, serotonin, by having a small all-carb G-spot snack. That could be like 4 cups of Air Pop popcorn. It could be a half a whole grain English muffin with a little jam on it. This isn't licensed to binge on Cheetos. It's got to be a small amount. It only takes 30 grams of carbs to get the serotonin boost. So I give a whole list of, 6 ounces of tabbouleh, a half a cinnamon raisin bagel with a little bit of jam on it or honey drizzled over the top. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just a small amount, maybe midday or maybe an hour before you go to bed, will either put you in a better mood or help you sleep at night.
Give me an idea of what to eat in a day.
Okay, well, with following that 75% authentic rule, that one of the chapters talks about energy, which is, the amount of energy you have determines your desire and motivation and confidence to even dive into life. If you're dragging through the day, the last thing you're going to feel is sexy. So one of the things we know that's important is eating breakfast. We have hundreds of studies spanning decades of research showing that people that eat breakfast have an easier time managing their weight, they think more clearly, they perform better at school and work, they're more creative, they're less prone to food cravings. I mean, I could just go on and on. They sleep better at night. But I'm not talking a Pop-Tart and a cup of coffee here. I'm talking about what I call in the book the ménage à trois breakfast. And the ménage à trois stands for three things. You need, one, a whole grain to provide the fuel your brain needs to run on during the morning hours, which is glucose. Two, you need some protein to keep your blood sugar levels even and to feel satisfied through the morning hours. And then three, you need at least 2 servings of a colorful fruit or vegetable. So that could be something as simple as a bowl of whole grain cereal like shredded wheat or kashi or grape nuts with some milk. That would be the protein. And then a big bowl of watermelon. So you start out with breakfast. Then maybe mid-morning you have a quickie snack. A quickie snack combines a little bit of protein with a little bit of high-quality carb, again, to keep your blood sugar levels even and to keep you feeling satisfied. If you eat when you're comfortably hungry, you're much less likely to eat the wrong stuff. So having a little quickie snack mid-morning can kind of keep you from diving into the vending machine or pulling up to a drive-thru. And the quickie snack could be something as simple as a 6-ounce tub of yogurt and an apple, or it could be some orange slices and a glass of milk. It could be some string cheese and whole grain crackers and a handful of blueberries. It doesn't have to be complicated. Then at lunch, you want to have what I call the twosome lunch. And that two stands for 1 low-fat and 2 light, light and low fat. We know that heavy meals, not only midday, not only make you groggy, so you're going to be tired rather than energized during the afternoon, but also a high-fat meal at lunch turns on another brain chemical called galanin. And once galanin is raging, you're much more likely to overeat fatty foods the rest of the day. So if you can keep your lunch low-fat and light, you're well on your way. And this could be something as simple as opening up a bag of lettuce, dumping it in a bowl, topping it with some leftover salmon or chicken, maybe some black beans, a little bit of low-fat dressing, and a piece of French bread. I mean, lunch doesn't take any time at all. Then for dinner, you might have a G-spot snack mid-afternoon. That would be the Air Pop popcorn or something. And then for dinner, again, keep it light and low-fat. We know that the omega-3s in fatty fish like salmon are important for brain function today and lowers the risk for dementia by up to 50%, as well as Alzheimer's by up to 70%. So if this is a great time to get some salmon in your diet, grill a salmon fillet under the broiler, throw a sweet potato in the microwave, open up some lettuce or, have a fruit salad, and you can have dinner on the table in 15 minutes. It really honestly doesn't take any more time, it doesn't cost any more, and it tastes great. But if you eat sexy, I guarantee you'll have more mojo than you've had in a long time.
What do you think about eggs? Are eggs good in your diet or not really?
If you don't have diabetes, then you can have up to 1 egg a day. But if you have diabetes, the recommendation is to limit it to 3. I use egg substitute because you can make anything. Scrambled eggs, frittatas, omelets, muffins, pancakes, anything with egg substitute, and then you don't have to worry about the cholesterol.
About peanut butter, what do you think of peanut butter?
I love peanut butter. I love peanut butter. No, that's a healthy fat. It's fine. If somebody's trying to manage their weight or trying to lose weight, you know, it's got some calories, so you've got to keep the serving size to what is recommended on the label.
That's the hard part.
2 tablespoons. But, peanut butter is great. Peanuts actually are an interesting nut because they have all the benefits of nuts. They have the vitamin E and the fiber and some of the B vitamins, but they also have all the benefits of a legume, of a bean. So they have compounds called saponins that help lower cholesterol level, and some of the, you know, so peanuts are a wonderful addition to the diet.
And also almond butter.
Sure, any nut, you know, whichever one is your favorite. You know, if you love cashews, if you love hazelnuts, if you love, or filberts, they're called either one. Whatever your favorite nut is fine. It's, you know, sort of splitting hairs when people start saying which nut is the best. Although peanuts do have that advantage of having both a legume nutritional profile as well as a nut one.
Now, you talk in your book about some unsexy foods.
Oh, well, you know, we are one big package. Whatever you feed your body to help your heart will also help that circulation that's feeding your brain. Whatever you feed your body for your brain will also feed your skin. We're one big package. And so it's no surprise that foods, for instance, that are high in saturated or trans fats, that we all, everyone, I'm sure all your listeners know, increase the risk for heart disease. Well, lo and behold, those fats also increase the risk for dementia. They also interfere with skin, aging skin faster, so you look older than your years, much like someone who smokes cigarettes. So it's sort of like, you know, if you know anything about the foods that help your heart, in February being Heart Health Month, that's an important message to get across. The good news is that it will also be feeding your skin and your mind and, you know, all the parts between your toes and your head in between. Cut out or at least reduce your intake of red meats, saturated fat-laden fatty dairy products like butter and whole milk and sour cream. And the nice thing is we have fat-free cream cheese. We have fat-free half and half. We have fat-free sour cream now, so there's no excuse not to. You also want to reduce your intake of the refined grains, since we know they increase inflammation not only in your circuitry but also your circulation and have been associated with increased skin aging. So if I can't get you for heart health, maybe I can get you on your vanity. You will lose weight and you will look younger if you cut back on some of those refined grains and switch instead to the whole ones, you know, the brown rice instead of the white rice, the 100% whole wheat bread instead of the sort of semi-whole wheat bread, the shredded wheat instead of the Cocoa Puffs. You'll be well on your way to eating sexy.
And I love it. It's so fun. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, this is the perfect book. And you also, I love that you have this one section in your book about romantic ways to eat the sexy diet. Number one is awfully fun. Blindfold your lover and slowly feed him or her sexy diet foods such as peeled grapes, strawberries, dark chocolate. Your book is just filled with so much fun.
Well, it should be fun. That's half of the, that's what sexy's all about.
And can you tell we love it? We love your book.
Oh, thank you. It was a fun book to write. It also has movies, like what are some sexy movies to get you in the mood?
Bull Durham and, no, what was it? Bull Durham, right. And
yeah,
six and a half weeks?
Nine and a half weeks? Oh, gosh, that was Mickey Rourke at his best.
Wasn't it?
Huh.
Well, we've been having fun promoting your book on our Facebook and our website and Twitter, and we've had lots of people asking us about it.
Well, that's great. You know, and if any of your listeners has a question, they can ask me questions on my website, elizabethsummer.com, and Summer is spelled S-O-M-E-R. You can also sign up for my free newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks that gives you sexy diet ideas as well as the latest research and menus and recipes and stuff. Keep the questions coming. I'd be more than glad to answer them.
Well, we do have an email from one of our listeners. They would like to know, you write in your book about supplements.
Yes, there's a whole chapter.
What are you suggesting?
there's, you know, there's a whole chapter on supplements. I think anybody worth their weight in nutrition credentials will always tell people to go to food first. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, no one is eating perfectly every day. So on the days when you don't eat perfectly, then taking a moderate dose multiple vitamin and mineral, and I give all the guidelines in the book about how to choose that, because most of the stuff on the market is not worth taking. So you got to have some guidelines on how to choose a good one. You're also going to probably need a calcium magnesium pill, because unless you're eating lots of whole grains and dark green leafy vegetables and nuts and legumes, you're one of the 3 out of 4 Americans whose diet is low in magnesium. Calcium, of course, for your bones and reducing the risk for colon cancer. You're going to need a little bit of extra of the omega-3s, especially the ones in seafood, especially the omega-3 fat DHA. You need at least 220 milligrams of that omega-3 every day. So if you're not eating salmon, mackerel, herring, sardines to lower your risk for depression and dementia, excuse me, then you need to take a supplement or consume foods that are fortified with DHA. And then finally, the fourth one is probably taking a little bit of extra vitamin D would be important. And then, of course, I talk about all the sexy supplements that are on the market and whether they're any good or not, and which ones on top of, you know, which ones actually have shown to work. But your baseline would be a multiple, a calcium magnesium, some extra omega-3 DHA, and a vitamin D.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say all that, and I just really can tell a difference myself when I don't take the vitamin D every day. It's my little pep pill, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of great research these days showing that vitamin D not only lowers the risk for certain cancers, like breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, but also
really
helped to boost mood.
Yeah, that's what I can tell. If I'm human, if I miss it, you know, taking it for 3 days in a row, I can tell.
Yep. Well, it is. There's some interesting research showing that it reduces things like winter blues. Seasonal affective disorder is the sort of the clinical name there. So making sure you get enough vitamin D is very important.
How many milligrams should you take, or how many when you're looking for a supplement for this vitamin D?
Yeah, it comes in what are called international units, IUs or units.
Right, right.
And, you know, you can, probably the nice thing is you can actually get your vitamin D levels checked. And from there, you'll know whether you need to take more vitamin D. But to take at least 1,000 units a day for adults, I'm not talking children here, but for adults, is well within the safe zone.
What do you think about fish oil?
Absolutely. If you're not going to get DHA by consuming salmon or mackerel, herring, sardines at least twice a week, then taking a fish oil capsule or a supplement like Vega 3 or Brain Strong that supplies that omega 3 DHA.
Interesting.
And again, in your book, I love the charts where you're helping us to understand that the best way is to get it through foods.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly you can get your vitamins and minerals in a pill, but we've now identified over 1 million phytonutrients in real food that are critical to protecting your body from disease and even aging. So there's no way you can get all those. They're not found in pills. They're not found in highly processed vegetable powders. You can only get them from real food. So that's why they're called supplements. They're not substitutes for a healthy diet. They're supplements to a healthy diet. You need to do both, eat well and supplement responsibly.
Well, on that note, we are just so highly recommending Eat Your Way to Sexy, Reignite Your Passion, Look 10 Years Younger, and Feel Happier Than Ever by Elizabeth Sommer. Elizabeth, would you join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live? We just love you.
Oh, I would love to come back anytime.
Good. Well, thank you.
Okay, you guys take care and stay sexy.
Thank you.
Yeah, stay sexy, and we're going to keep promoting this wonderful book.
All righty.
Bye. I like her. I think she gave some great advice.
Oh, yes. It's so fun to talk about her book and feeling sexy.
I know, because you eat right, then you lose a little weight, and it makes you just feel better.
Yep.
Speaking of sexy,
your attitude, too.
Speaking of sexy, I just heard our next guest chime in. GL, are you there?
I am here, ladies.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Listen to that voice.
I know, the sexy voice. I'd like to introduce everybody to our colleague on Artist First, G.L. Henderson. He's the star of the G.L. Henderson Show on Artist First on Wednesday nights. And then Loving Yourself, Mentally and Physically Therapeutic Poetry, the CD of the Infidelity Edition. He's the star of that. did I say that right? It's a mouthful.
You did.
And such a fun little topic, loving yourself physically and mentally. Tonight is the night for everything that's sexy.
Yeah, I heard the last guest with the, and I agree wholeheartedly with, outside of the stuff that I'll talk about mentally and physically or whatever, but internally, health-wise has a big thing to do with it too.
Exactly, because you are what you eat, and especially with your attitude.
Yes, exactly. So that was a wonderful guest that you guys just had on.
So, what's going on with the CD? Give us some more, let's pick up where we left off the last time. Tell us more about the CD.
Well, therapeutic poetry, huh?
And the topics.
Therapeutic poetry, the Infidelity Edition, again, is something that I kind of ran across when I was taking notes when I was preparing for a guest. And of course, my biggest listening audience comes when I'm talking either about sex or infidelity. And so I kind of took those topics and tried to do something with it and, thus spawned the Therapeutic Poetry Infidelity Edition with taking the clinical steps and processes of, from a psychiatrist standpoint and put it into something entertaining and, without losing the integrity of the clinical process. And the last time I was on the show, we were talking about why people cheat. And I think, some of those things kick off from loving yourself. I think most of the subjects all boil down to you as an individual, yourself. Everything starts and ends with you.
Now, we had a guest on, was it last week or the week before? She was talking about mistresses. And they said it's not usually who you think it would be. It's not really always the sex pot in the office that becomes the mistress. It could be the little unassuming person that just does it for the, that communicates better with the person that's vulnerable or, you know what I mean? Like the Princess Diana and the Camilla Parker Bowles type of thing.
Well, the crazy thing about it is that I think it jars a lot of people's ego, both men and women, when they see somebody and it's like, oh, you left me for that person or you messed around with that person,
Right.
And it just messes with a person's ego. Like they expect the person to be a beauty queen or, or someone of a higher standard than where they are, and I guess it's okay for their ego to validate it and say, yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, but 9 times out of 10, it really has nothing to do with the way a person look is how they're, treating a person.
Right.
And I always say that sex is like a bonus addition to, an affair or, when, people go outside of their relationships.
Wow. Nancy, you talk. I just lost my train of thought.
You did? Well, GL, the last time that we had you on, you were reading some of your poetry from your therapeutic CD, and tonight's topic, of course, loving yourself physically and mentally. Do you have something ready to read to us? It's almost Valentine's Day. Our listeners are excited.
Yeah, I always have something to read or even just a little bit. Let's see. I'll do something simple.
Good.
Let's start with falling in love with yourself. Think about what makes you, you. See, others might have an opinion, but I bet they have no clue. Just like flowers needing water to grow, I need you to take this process nice and slow. Love yourself for all the good that's inside. Stand up straight. Act like you have some pride. Accept the fact that we are not perfect and we all have flaws. I mean everyone, doctors, lawyers, socialites, celebrities, and all. Is there a little voice in your head that's telling you that you're stupid or you're no good? Your heart is just lying there like a dried out piece of wood? stop downing yourself with all this self-criticism and putting yourself last. Whenever it tries to consume you, move away from it fast. Make it a habit to praise yourself each and every day. Stand in the mirror and have nothing but positive things to say. Acknowledge that you've done your best, even if you fail. It's the attempt that counts. Believe that, and you'll always prevail.
Let me ask you a question. It's been on the news in the last couple of days. What do you think about Demi Moore and how she's, you know, falling to pieces because of Ashton Kutcher? You know, her husband was cheating on her, and she's older, and he's younger, and she was always trying to be skinny because, you know, she was afraid that he was going to leave her. Or, you know, she was always doing, like, crazy things, just drinking Red Bull and not eating so she could stay skinny so she wouldn't lose her husband. What do you think about that? Like, is that a person that doesn't love themselves?
You know, I was just getting ready to say that. I think that my dealings with a lot of celebrities, you know, that they put so much emphasis on their career and their status and their you know, everything materialistically, and they're so caught up in the world of entertainment that they completely forget who they really are as people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that particular relationship there, in my opinion, you know, whenever you have such a drastic age gap, you know, what the hell was she expecting?
What was she expecting? She's 15 years older than he is, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, but you're talking about someone who's married, have kids, you know, divorced. You know, this guy, I mean, you could tell from his TV shows, the kind of shows that he does, there was nothing mature about this individual. You know, whether you're a celebrity or not, there was no maturity there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure, again, you know, what she was thinking. And you really never know what goes on behind closed doors, you know, and maybe she was trying to be more of a mom to this guy, you know, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, that's where you are at that stage in life, what you can and can't do, you know. And he probably just, you know, needs to spread his wings.
Right.
But all this stuff that she's going through now, you know what I mean? That's just something that is the, you know, consequences of that certain situation that probably she should have never put herself in the first place. You know, if you go back and you take a look at the beginning, that's when you start saying, okay, were you really compatible from the beginning? You know, were you even together? I mean, maybe in the beginning there was bliss and there was excitement, because he was probably fulfilling whatever this desire that you needed. But once the reality, you know, set in and you know, no longer, oh my gosh, you know, I'm screwing Demi Moore. You know, I'm about to marry Demi Moore. You know, After a while, you just become Demi.
Right. Do you think it's because of the age difference? I mean, are you against such a big age difference, especially when the woman's older?
You know, the age difference, I think, you know, it depends on maturity, because there's some people who are my age who are not mature whatsoever, and there's some people who are younger. I'm just saying, if there's no sense of compatibility, then it's not going to work from the beginning, even if you're the same age.
Right.
I just think that in that particular situation there, that there were no compatibility, mm-hmm. you know, whatsoever. They were just a Hollywood couple, and I think she attached herself to him because he was rising star and he was in the papers, and he would have kept her in the paper and, you know, so forth and so on, for whatever those reasons are, you know. But who knows?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a shame. It's sad, really. It's really sad, because she's a beautiful woman. She's gorgeous. And it's just, you know, it's just sad.
You know, and maybe, you know, if she realizes where she is, like you said, you know, she's too busy trying to be 20 instead of, you know, accepting the fact that where she is in life, and find somebody that's going to compliment her and where she is. But I don't think she complimented him.
Right.
Well, speaking of looking sexy, Farrah Fawcett, if she was still alive, she would be turning 65 yesterday.
You know, I had
Isn't
that
unbelievable? And Christie Brinkley, it's her birthday today. Look how gorgeous she looks. So... amazing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? They're not running around, you know, with some guy wearing a trucker hat, you know.
Right.
Trying to be 20, 25. You know, this he's young. He still has so much, you know, that he wants to do. And I don't want to turn this into a Demi Cushion thing, but it's for anybody that's out there. You know, it'll begin, you know, with yourself, loving who you are and accepting where you are, because you find yourself in unhealthy relationships when you don't know who you are, when you don't love yourself because you're chasing, you know, something that's unrealistic, and you're like running around, you know, with like a dog chasing a tail, like you'll never catch it because you don't know who you are. So how can you expect to accept something in your life if you don't know what you want?
True. That's exactly true.
But
so,
it's the same way with career or anything. You know, if you don't have goals and you don't know where you're headed, what you want, it's hard to accomplish anything.
Yeah, you know, I base things off of five characteristics: spiritually, emotional, physical, financially, and professionally. If you have to have a balance in your life, and you have to have an understanding of your negatives and positives when it comes to those five characteristics. But if, let's say, like, I can make it simple. This is how people find themselves in unhealthy relationships, is when they focus on the part of their life that they're lacking the most in. So if you're lacking finances, you're drawn to someone who has money because it's going to temporarily relieve your pain for that moment. But then when that pain no longer exists and your bills are taken care of and you got the money that you want, now you have to deal with the other characteristics of this person, and you may not like that because you didn't really focus on it because you were too busy trying to make sure financially you were taken care of.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
You know, it's just like spiritual. If you talk about spirituality, if someone who feels like they're lacking, you know, certain spirituality, they're drawn to someone who's going to talk spiritual talk to them and do all this other stuff, and then they're drawn into this spiritual relationship, but they're not focusing on anything else, you know? You know what I mean? Like, they're drawn to what they're missing. If you're in a business capacity and you want a promotion, and that's your drive, is to reach a certain goal, you're driven by someone who is going to help you achieve your goal. But that doesn't mean that you're in a healthy relationship. That just means for the moment they're helping you achieve the thing that you desire the most. But if you really start focusing on the other aspects of life, then you'll really find out if this person is completely all around compatible for you.
Do you think people have unrealistic expectations? I mean, do you think that people, like, expect things and then when they don't happen, like, you think things should be a certain way, and then when they don't happen, then you just give up, or you just, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're talking about giving up in a relationship, again, it always boils back to you. As a person, did you really think this through, or did you put these expectations out there and not believe in them yourself? It's like saying that it's basically you're excited for a relationship for the moment, but when that person joins in the reality of your world, can they really exist in the reality of your world? Not the dinners, not the buying you gifts and stuff, but can they deal with your everyday issues? Can they deal with the reality of your world, the kids, work, whatever it is? Can they deal with that? And that's when you really know if you have somebody. But I think most people get in a relationship under the pretenses. And ladies, you know, I would say this to you all, is stop accepting and thinking that you're getting into a healthy relationship because a guy buys you clothes, or he buys you jewelry, or he takes you on trips, or he buys you flowers and all this other stuff. Those big things are not sustainable. So you can't expect to receive that every day, all the time, because it's not, you know, achievable to receive that. And they get in relationship thinking that they're going to be showered for the rest of their life because of what this person is doing for them. But when it's time for that person to do the little things, then it's like, oh my gosh, he's slipping. You know, he don't love me no more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and men, they, you know, they have to stop thinking that the woman is going to be dolled up, made up, you know, wear lingerie, or always looking, you know, like she's a dime and a 10. And they have to stop, you know, pursuing women based upon that, thinking that this is how they're going to look every day, all day.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. You have to love each other, whether you have your best New Year's Eve outfit on, or it's just a relaxing evening at home. Now, it doesn't mean that we all have to sit around in sweats all the time. It's nice to look your best, no matter, you know what I mean.
You know, I had a reverse situation. One of my friends called me, and they were having issues. And the issue was on the physical aspect, was that she was a plus-size woman and wanted to, you know, she, because of her health, she had to get surgery and end up, you know, becoming smaller. And the husband didn't like her being smaller. So he had issues with that. And now she was conflicted because she's thinking because she's smaller now that that would make the relationship better. But it made it worse because he wanted the big woman.
How about that? And so there was a lack of communication from the beginning then.
Yeah, you know, and they struggled for a while, you know, but ultimately, because of who she is, you know, she really loved herself enough to, you know, say, this is who I am. You have to accept me because health-wise, I had to go through this. And he adjusted, you know, but she stood her ground because she knew who she was and you know, and she loved herself enough to say that this is, I'm doing this for me.
That's nice.
You know, you can be here with me or not, but this is for me. And most people have to understand that.
Right. I also believe that if you love yourself and you love your partner, whether it's your spouse or someone that you really are having fun dating, it's really nice to tune into that person and spend some time listening and compliment that person. I heard something very interesting the other day. If you go to your best friend, your mother, your sisters, and complain about your person in your life, because when you know, when you're together talking with your mom, your sisters, your best friends, and this might be on your mind, that's all they hear is the negative stuff about this special person in your life, instead of making sure every now and then you also remind your mother, your sisters, your best friends, man, do I have a great man in my life. He fixes things for me, compliments me. So, you know, in other words, balance the both things, not just nag to your girlfriends.
Yeah, because it ultimately comes back and it will haunt you. You know,
exactly.
It's almost like the boy who or girl who cried, you know, it's going to come back and haunt you when you really need them to support your relationship. Then that's when it's going to go sour because, you know, they're so tainted.
And, you know, we don't think about it because sometimes these are the people in our lives, our moms, our girlfriends, our best friends, that we run to when we need to talk to someone. And a lot of times when we have the good things about our spouses or our lovers, we think we say it, but it stays in our head. We don't say it out loud, these compliments enough. And that does, I also feel it's not only, you know, at this situation, but we need to tell our partners these good things too. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's like, you know, it first starts at home, and it starts there. Most of the time, like, even in the thing when I wrote Why People Cheat, that it starts from, you know, the admiration, the lack of admiration and desire. You know, you're no longer complimenting each other. And then it's about becoming complacent in the reality of someone's world, that you think that because they're there and they're existing there, that you don't have to say these things. You know, you don't have to assist in doing anything. Like, people get into their roles and it's like, okay, the guy doesn't help around the house, the woman doesn't do this, or, you know, you get into your world and next thing you know, you have kids and work, and those things become your priority, and you no longer take the time out to love each other. You're just existing. You're having sex because you're together. You're in the bed. Oh, we're in the bed. You know, hey, let's have sex. You know, like, all that stuff that you used to do, you don't do no more. People have to realize that you have to keep up with that stuff, and it's a 24-hour, 7 days a week thing.
365.
Yes.
We just got an email in from a Peggy in Boston. She wants to know, she went out on a date with someone, and they didn't call her back in a week. Should she be worried?
Hey, Peggy. Well, first of all, you know, there's different circumstances of where they're at in their relationship, first off, and what have been the communication up until that point, and what have been the expectations, you know, from it. It's really hard to say anything on that one, but I would tell you this, though, Peggy, that my rule of thumb is that people make time for what they want to make time for. And when someone is interested and they're in you, they will not go a week because they will want to hear your voice. They will want to know how you're doing. They will, you know, technology allows us to communicate. Mm-hmm. So I would say to you that probably need to let that one go.
Okay.
Well, GL, we have so much more to talk to you. Lisa and I would love to have you join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live. Would you come back in a few weeks?
You know, you guys just text me, call me, email me, Facebook me, you know, whenever you guys would like. I'm here. It's great. But before I get off the air.
You're very interesting and very smart and very wise.
You are the king of relationship drama.
You know, and I appreciate you, ladies, but I do want to say this before I get off the air, though, is that although the conversation seemed to be, you know, more towards the negative, it really isn't. It's just the fact to say that there's nothing negative about loving yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, people can only do to you what you want them, you allow them to do to you. You know, if you want happiness, then you have to be happy yourself. People can't make you happy. They can only bring happiness.
Exactly. So let's share some happiness right before Valentine's Day. Gio, we just love you. Come back soon.
Thank you, ladies, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Happy Valentine's Day. Well, we'll talk to you over then, but happy Valentine's Day early.
All right. Thank you, ladies,
bye.
Too, and everybody out there. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
well,
ladies.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay with us. We're joined by Smokin' Joe Frazier's son, Derek Frazier.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Bark with Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome back, everyone. We are excited. We are joined by Derek Frazier, who is the son of heavyweight champion of the world from the boxing world, Smokin' Joe Frazier. Derek, how are you?
I am good. I'm a little under the weather, but I am good.
Well, we're excited to have you back again on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show. For our listeners who did not have the chance to hear your previous chat with us on Chit Chat Cafe Live, would you please share a memory of growing up with Joe Frazier as your father?
Okay, I'm not going to remember the same one, but
no,
I will
tell us
have
the
a
story, anything you want.
I remember there was a night that my dad came and he got me. It was like 3 o'clock. I got my car towed. And he told the guy who he was, and he gave my car right back to me. So that was the best thing about, you know, having him. But, I mean, there's a lot of good memories. You know, he was always there for me when I needed him. And, you know, he was my right-hand man, you know. If I had anybody to depend on, it was him. I trusted him for my whole life. So, you know, there's so many... There's a lot of memories, you know, just a lot of car rides, just a lot of stuff, just so much. But I remember there was one time when my dad took the time to come out to my school. He gave a fake speech, and he literally embarrassed me.
What happened?
He was saying how, he's like, Dennis, you need to lose some weight. And I was like, Dad, please, like, this is in front of my whole military school. Like, we're supposed to give it an interview. And he was just making jokes and cracking jokes on me. But, you know, I enjoyed those times, you know.
Aw, well, we can hear that love in your voice. And you wanted to come on our show and promote your documentary. And we watched it. In your documentary, Derek, you talk about that love that your father had that you both shared. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my father, he loved me very much. You know, a lot of people didn't understand because, you know, people were saying, well, obviously, if he loved you, he would have told you what was going on. There had to be reasons, and that's why I did the documentary, because I wanted to explain to people. It wasn't that he couldn't reach me. He physically and mentally did not know what was going on during the time. If this man's supposed to be sick, you know, he's not going to know what's going on. He could be signing stuff that people tell him to sign. You know, it was just a hectic time, and they blocked my number, so I wasn't able to reach him at all. You know, they told me that he was out of town the whole time. That's why I did that documentary, to let people know, like, this is what happens. And I'm trying my best to get that short film documentary out there. Tell you the truth, the documentary was 47 minutes long, but they had to cut it down to 5 minutes.
Oh, well, you can just tell. And also, newsworks.org.
Mm-hmm.
In the article that we read, it writes that you live right near the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church where your father's funeral took place.
Yes.
In that article, you were mentioned as saying that sometimes you think your father is looking back. Oh,
he does.
You know what, Derek? We all, coming from the Philadelphia area, we loved your father, Joe Frazier. What? Tell us about the funeral. What do you remember?
You know what? I'm explaining. When I look at that church, I'm going to elaborate on that real quick. He does look back at me. He'll wink, he'll laugh, I can imagine him cracking up with me. But what I remember from the funeral, everything was a blur, because everything just felt like it was a movie. Everyone had a scene, and we all were watching it. And I couldn't change which scene was going on. I bought the tickets for this movie, and I had to watch it. You know, when I saw my dad, you know, laying in that casket, I personally denied that that was him. I said, oh, that's not my dad. You know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get that chance to get closure with him. So I didn't get a chance to see what he looked like when he was, you know, dying and stuff. You know, I didn't get that chance like everybody else. I didn't get a chance to have those last few words with him. So, you know, the whole funeral was just like, it was beautiful. Like, the people that spoke, oh, it was so nice. I'm glad they did that. But it was just the people that were in the funeral had involvement of my father dying. So it was like, I was angry. I was angry. I was upset. I just could not believe how everything went down.
Oh, well, Derek, you know, I would just like to speak from personal experience myself. I live out of state from when my parents, where they lived, and unfortunately, I was not there when either one of them, both my mother and my father, passed away. And you know what I want you to learn, or like I'd like to say to you? I would like you to hold on to all of the wonderful memories that you have, because that's just special for you, and you have such wonderful memories. I want you to keep those locked in your heart.
Thank you. And I do want to say I'm sorry for your loss. And
And thank you very much. And now that we know they're out of pain, and it's up to us to carry on the memories.
Right. No, you're right. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to keep all the memories. I'm not going to let them go. It's just that, you know, during this time, I said I was going to come in 2012, you know, get myself together. I finally got myself together. And now I just want people to know the truth, you know, instead of the lies that they were told and stuff.
Yeah.
Let people see, you know, why I did that video back in November. You know, who were the people involved that did this stuff? Because it's not right that they are getting the praise, you know, as good people when they didn't. You know, and it's just about just trying to just tell the truth. I don't want people to be lied to, and I can't live the rest of my life, you know, especially because I didn't get closure. But this is way my way of getting closure, by people listening to my story, hearing what, you know, what really happened. And, you know, that's what I'm just trying to promote it as much as I can so people can hear it.
Well, that's why all of our listeners can find you on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website and
follow you
on Twitter and just stay in touch with you. So, Derek, we thank you very much for joining us on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show.
Thank you very much. And you have any questions, let me know.
You feel better. And remember, hold all your memories locked in your heart.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless you always.
You too. And bye, everyone. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate everything.
You're welcome. Bye, Derek.
Bye.
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 Well, we would like to thank our Chit Chat Cafe Live sponsors tonight, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We'd like to thank Scott Z at Artists First and Kyle for helping produce our show tonight.
We'd like to thank our guest, Elizabeth Sommer, G.L. Henderson, Derek Frazier, and I'm reminding everyone to listen to our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down to the date you'd like to listen, and then enjoy some of our past shows. And I just want to say, go Giants!
Yay! Cheers!
Sunday. Bye!
Bye, everyone! Bye.